just feel the force around you. Here. Between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
We're all familiar with those sayings of Yoda, and we've all heard of that little boy, Harry Potter. But how have these cultural icons introduced New Age and occultic ideas into today's culture, and especially to today's kids? That's what we're going to discuss tonight on Raw Talk. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I, as always, am your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight as we have a very important topic to discuss as we talk a little bit about the New Age movement and Christianity. How's the New Age movement subtly infiltrated our society and perhaps even the church? And what is the church doing to stem the tide of New Age beliefs? We've seen it in all kinds of places, like Star Wars that we heard at the beginning, very subtly introduced in the form of entertainment. But what kind of damage is it really doing? And that's what we're going to discuss tonight. Our special guest is Marcia Montenegro. She works for Christian Answers for the New Age. She is an author and someone who is very, very familiar with the New Age movement, a former astrologer and now a believer in Christ. And we're certainly glad that we can have her expertise and insight on tonight's show. So, Marcia, thank you so much for joining us tonight here on Raw Talk.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really glad to be on.
I'm really glad to have you on. I love hearing stories of people who, you know, went through something, you know, like you were an astrologer and now you're a Christian. And I love the fact that there's people out there who have experienced firsthand some of those things to help warn the rest of us who haven't about some of the dangers of that. I mean, I'm not happy that you had to experience some of the things that you had experienced, but your experience will help so many others. And I'm glad that we could have someone like you on tonight's show. Just to start things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got lured into the whole New Age thing, and then how eventually you were called out of that into Christian ministry?
Okay, I'll give a very nutshell summary of it.
Sure.
I was raised with exposure to church. My family was not really Christian. My father was an agnostic. And my mother was a Christian in name, but not really in the way she lived her life. But I got somewhat disillusioned with Christianity in high school, and I had non-Christian friends. And I started questioning things and finally decided that I wanted to explore other religious paths. And I started that in college and continued after college. And it was really a gradual thing. I was very interested in Eastern religions, for one thing. And I was interested in the world of the supernatural. And because I had some experiences, actually starting when I was young, and then some more in college, and then after college, these experiences to me validated my belief in this kind of supernatural world, and I wanted to know more about it and how to access it. And I was also at the same time beginning to learn about Eastern religions and beginning to adopt the world views of those religions. And so very gradually I felt like I was entering this spiritual world, that I was getting in touch with a very deep spirituality. I felt that I was getting liberated from a lot of limiting ideas. And so there was a sense of freedom in this exploration. And there was a sense of freedom in some of the experiences I had. And all of this just, you know, kept me going in that direction. And as I got deeper and deeper into this, you know, it became my world. And it was the way I interpreted things, was through the filter of all these beliefs. And I finally decided to specifically study something and use that as a tool, I thought, to help people, and that was astrology. So after already doing these other things, I studied astrology and became a professional astrologer in 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia. And by the way, I had to take a 7-hour exam to do that.
Wow.
because Atlanta had a special, and may still have this, situation where in order to practice legally in the city limits, you have to have a business license, but in order to qualify for the business license, you have to show that you know astrology. And this was actually set up by the astrologers and the city council to keep out the scam artists who don't really know astrology and just make things up. So there is something real to this in the sense that people who really do astrology or do tarot card readings or people who are psychics in the real sense who really believe in it aren't just making things up. And that's something we can, you know, get into later.
Yeah.
But So I did pass the exam and I started practicing professionally and built up my clientele. At the time I was married, I had a young son. He's now 25. And I just kept going in that direction. I was very hostile to Christianity, and God just intervened in my life in 1990. Just directly intervened, and it wasn't that I began to question what I was doing or that I got interested in Christianity. It was really supernatural intervention by the Lord. And through some things that happened, I finally was reading the Bible one night shortly before Christmas of 1990 and saw who Jesus really was and turned my life over to him. And this was not an overnight thing. As I said, there were different things that happened before that. I did find out several months later that a young Christian man in an office where I was working part-time had been praying for me with a fellowship group at his church. But I didn't know that at the time. And my life, of course, was completely, totally changed. I mean, just more, to me, it seems more than 180 degrees. I feel like I've had two different lives, really, in a sense. And so then God started opening up doors a few years later for me to share my story and share my knowledge of this. And since then, I have seen the kind of things that I was involved in and my friends were involved in. I've seen them just grow and mushroom in our culture and actually become accepted. Mm-hmm. And this is very alarming to me.
Well, Marcia, you just wrote a book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids, and you bring up some very provocative issues, and at least the sections of the book I've read. I got it on Friday. I've only been able to read through about a third of it, but I am going to finish it. So we'll dive into some of those. But I want to let our listeners know, if you got a question that you would like to ask Marcia about maybe astrology, about the New Age movement, anything along those lines, please feel free to do so. This is a unique opportunity to do that, to get some firsthand knowledge from someone who experienced it and now has a Christian perspective on it all. 505-338-5790. It's 505-338-5790 if you would like to ask Marcia some questions. Now, Marcia, let's real quick, and I know it's broad and it's difficult to kind of nail down, but real quick, why don't you kind of sum up what defines New Age?
Well, the New Age is, yes, it's very broad, and actually it's a blending of different beliefs. So the New Age incorporates a lot of different things. It draws from Eastern religions. The New Age always talks about God, often talks about Jesus, so it can sound very Christian. Part of the New Age is the occult, which is what my book is specifically about, and the occult includes the practices that God forbids in Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, and those include things like trying to contact the dead, trying to contact a spirit, trying to find out hidden knowledge by using supernatural means or by reading knowledge into things. You're getting information beyond the normal means, and that's called divination, which some people call fortune telling is the more common term. And then you have magic, or as the Bible calls it, sorcery, which is accessing or channeling a power that you believe is a supernatural power. You could believe that it comes from nature. You could believe that it comes from even from God or gods, depending on your belief system. And you are trying to harness this for some purpose, or you're trying to alter reality with your will. And magic also often includes spirit contact. So a lot of these things overlap, and you can just, you know, you can go from one to the other. Sometimes there's a connection between them, but those are really the specific areas of the occult. That would be divination, spirit contact, and sorcery. And then the New Age is a broader area which covers these spiritual things out there now about God as this energy or this source, and you connect to God through various means. So, and all of these things just overlap, and it's very hard to define, because actually there are no clear boundaries, and that's one reason it's hard to define. There's no boundaries within these belief systems themselves, and they kind of shift around and move around, and so you have over, on one place you have the Ouija board over here to contact dead people, and you have the yin-yang symbol, which comes from the Chinese religion Taoism, and that has the concept of dark and light, and you find that in sorcery and in witchcraft, the dark and light side of magic. That plays very much into the occult and how they view good and evil. So you just have all kinds of areas you can go, all kinds of directions.
You know, bringing up that it's so undefinable, it makes it, you know, it brings to my mind, how do you fight an enemy when you're not even sure who they are? You know, as a Christian, I hear you talking about that, and I'm like, man, that's really tough, because if there's no clear parameters for me to say, ah, that is New Age, that's a cult, that, then how are we to be aware of when it's infiltrating maybe even the church? I mean, if we can't really nail down what it is, that's got to be a real dangerous enemy that Christians need to be aware of.
Yes, absolutely, and that's a very good question. How do you recognize something that's so hard to define? I think the best way, or the first step and the foundational step, is to know God's Word, to know God is the one who defines good and evil. God is the one who defines His character. He's the one who tells us what sin is. He's the one who tells us what the answer to our sin problem is, which is redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. And we know who Jesus is and what He's like from the Bible. We know to the extent that we can know God through the Bible. And so what we have to do is compare the things we hear to what God says. So when you hear someone talking about God, and it sort of sounds okay, but, you know, you're not sure, or maybe there's something that sounds a little off, you need to find out, well, what does this person mean when they say God? Who do they think God is? What do they mean when they say Jesus? Because you could be talking to someone who's talking about Jesus, and they think Jesus is great, and then you ask them, well, you know, well, who is Jesus? What do you think of Him as far as who He was? Oh, Jesus was this master, you know, he was a master magician, which some people in the occult believe, or Jesus was this awakened spiritual master. You know, he was a man just like us who realized his divinity, and when he realized his divinity, his Christ consciousness, that was an example for all of us to realize our own inner divinity. Now, that's a very common belief in the New Age. And so then you get that answer, and you realize, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not what the Bible tells us about Jesus. So you need to make sure you understand the definition of these terms that either you're reading about or somebody's telling you about. So you just need to check everything out, and don't assume things. Don't take them for granted. And go by the Bible for the passage I mentioned, Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12, which lists all the practices of the occult.
Which is also why the Bible tells us to test all spirits. Now, I have a burning question for you that when I was reading through your book, it's like, man, I got to ask about this. But before we get to that, we do have a caller on the line. Monique, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Monique?
My question is, what's your opinion on seances?
My opinion on what? I couldn't.
On seances. What's your opinion of seances?
Oh, seances.
Yes.
A seance, for those who may not know, is a session where you are attempting to contact the dead, or where you're with someone who's attempting to contact the dead. That is very strongly forbidden in the Bible. Actually, King Saul went to a medium to contact Samuel, the prophet who had died, because Saul was desperate for advice. Samuel did appear, but only because God allowed it, And actually, when Samuel appeared, he rebuked Saul for his disobedience to God and told him he was going to die in battle the next day with his sons, which did happen. And in 1 Chronicles 10:13, God says one of the reasons he allowed Saul to die was because he consulted a medium. Now, let me just say a little more now, having gotten that out of the way, because a lot of people wonder about King Saul. Let me say a little more about seances. What is going on there is somebody thinks they can contact a dead person and get some kind of message or communication from the dead person, and you cannot contact a dead person. What I believe happens is either nothing is happening, or if you think that you hear something, it's imagination, or it's a demon, because in 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, God tells us that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. He can appear good. I believe that demons who are fallen angels, we have to remember they're fallen angels, can disguise themselves as dead people, or they can even disguise themselves as good angels. And when you are trying to contact a dead person and you get a response, that is very likely what is going on. You are not going to hear from the dead person. So it's a deception. It's a trick by Satan. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been pulled into this. Contacting the dead has become more popular the past few years with people like John Edward and Sylvia Brown and several movies that have come out with that theme. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. It's not something that you want to do, because you're opening the door there to contact with these fallen angels, and you don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to scare people, but I also need to, you know, say what the situation is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it either.
Hey, Monique, let me ask, why do you ask the question? Have you been approached about participating in one, or were you just curious, or why did you want to know about seances?
Well, a friend I've had since kindergarten has, like, been into it lately.
Mm.
And I wanted to give, she's Christian, so I wanted to give her, like, a scripture or something to say, you know.
Okay.
No. Okay, well, go to Deuteronomy 18:10-12. And if you can go online to, like, Bible Gateway, it's a website where you can put in, you can search for a word in the Bible, and you can search for spiritism, or spiritist, that's like spirit with IST on the end, and put a search through, especially the Old Testament. There's several verses that say to not do that. Another one is in Isaiah 8, I believe. And I have it on my website. I have, can I give my website?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
My website is Cana, C-A-N-A, .userworld, that's all one word, .com, cana.userworld.com, and there's no www, so don't put that in there. If you go there and look at the table of contents, I have an article called Spirit Contact, and that will help you. That gives you some Bible scripture about this particular topic.
Does that help you out, Monique?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thanks.
Now, hey, Monique, real quick, let me ask, did you say that your friend was in kindergarten?
No, she's been my friend since kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
She's in seventh now.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought, kindergarten? What?
Yeah, no.
Like, wow, it's worse than we thought.
Yeah. All right, Monique, thanks for calling in tonight, all right? Okay. I hope that helped you out.
Thanks.
All right, take care. And 505-338-5790. If you have a question or a comment that you would like to address to Marcia about this topic of the New Age, the occult, the paranormal, and its infiltration, not only into our society, but Marcia, we saw right there, even into the church. You know, she's talking about her Christian friends curious about doing a seance, which just makes me feel all sorts of uncomfortable that even today's kids are thinking, nah, it's just kind of a trendy, cool thing to do. So 505-338-5790. If you got a question or a comment for Marcia, we'd love to hear from you here on Raw Talk. Now, I want to address that whole idea of infiltrating the church. But first, Marcia, I got to just ask this question, because it's been when I was reading your book and you were talking about good luck charms. You know, good luck mm-hmm. things that people like rabbit's foot uh-huh. and things that they carry around, and how or even like a baseball player thinking, oh, I'm going to wear my lucky socks. and you know, if I have my lucky socks, then we're going to win. How basically that's just trying to use magic, that you're thinking magical thoughts when you're thinking that your lucky socks are going to help you win and whatnot. I thought that was fascinating because I never thought of it that way before. It's like, man, so wearing my Broncos jersey because I think it's going to help them to win, I'm practicing magic? I don't want to do that, but I really like my Broncos jersey. Expound a little bit on that and kind of the reasoning behind the whole, you know, having a lucky object is more than just having a lucky object.
Right, right. Well, I think if you like your, you know, your Broncos jersey or shirt or whatever, you just like to wear it and it makes you feel good, I think that's fine.
Okay, woo!
I think the idea is that if you really think it's going to make you lucky or it's going to make your team win if you wear it while you watch them play a live game, you know, then you're crossing a line there, because that belief that an object can actually have power or attract some kind of power to it is the idea behind charms and talismans that are used in the occult. And these are actual objects that are used in the occult. They believe that these will draw, you know, good fortune or draw health, etc. And then there's amulets are usually used to protect against something bad. So people wear things to protect themselves against something bad. And this is very common in cultures around the world. And we see it in our culture in kind of a watered-down form with, the rabbit's foot or the four-leaf clover. But behind that is kind of what we call folk magic that goes back to this idea that objects have power. And the thing is, first of all, the idea of luck is not an idea that fits in with the biblical worldview, because the idea of luck is that you are somehow placating the gods or pleasing some forces that therefore you're going to do something to help these forces like you so that good things will happen to you. And that's just not, of course, compatible with the Bible, because God is sovereign over what happens, and it's to him that we look for help. I think a few years ago there were these bracelets that were being sold in a lot of places, department stores, and they were, I believe they were like Chinese bracelets, and they had little symbols on them for good health and prosperity or symbols for love, luck and love. And they were being sold, you know, just in the department store. There was a whole trend when those came in, and people were wearing them. Now, I think a lot of people may not have known what they were for, but that was the idea behind them. And it does come from a culture where there's a lot of superstition about luck.
Now, let me ask, because when I was reading that, one of the things that struck me is how Christians often treat the cross. I remember back when I was in college, there was this thing, a kind of trendy little thing called the pocket cross. You got this little cross, and it came with like a little card, and you kept it in your pocket. And then every time you touched it, you know, you're supposed, you know, put your hand in your pocket to get change or your keys, and you touch the cross. You're like, oh, yeah. And you're supposed to, you know, think of some very Christian-sounding type of thing. Or, you know, you see in movies where, you know, they use the cross to ward off evil, all that type of stuff. And when I was reading that, it just kind of struck me as like, wow, you know, the way some Christians, and, you know, this is a blanket statement, but the way some Christians use the cross, they treat it very much like an amulet or a charm. And now that, you know, you got me thinking about, you know, that's just kind of a type of magic, I was like, man, I want to be very careful, because, you know, obviously there's power in the cross, but using it as an object that way, it just got me thinking. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think that perhaps Christians knowingly or unknowingly are crossing a line there in just their treatment of how they use the cross?
I think some may be doing it unknowingly, not realizing it. Sometimes people think, you know, if there's something wrong or they're afraid of something in their house, they'll anoint the corners of the house with oil. And they're not just doing it as if they're doing it just as a symbolic thing, you know, I don't really see the reason for it, but I think it's okay. But if they really, some people really think if they do this, this is somehow going to keep demons out or keep evil spirits out. And And that's another magical kind of thinking. And then if you really think about it, you have to think, well, God is so much more powerful than a few drops of oil. Why do I need to put oil in the corner of my house? If I'm afraid of something, why don't I just ask for God to protect me? Hmm. You know, we always have to, you know, we always have to remember God is the one in charge, and we don't need little objects. You know, crystals are another example, and crystals have been very popular since the 70s. And in the New Age, they're used really as amulets and charms, although they don't use those words for them usually. And certain crystals, I went and bought this ring at this mall just a couple of miles from where I live. And the man at the little stall who was selling the rings, you know, was telling me, oh, yes, well, this stone, you know, this is good for health. And this stone will help you, you know, make your life more prosperous. And he was telling me about these stones and how they would do this for me. And I said, oh, no, I don't believe that. And he said, oh, yes, it's true. And I said, no, a stone cannot do those things for you. It's just a stone. It's a beautiful stone. But God is the one, you know, who is in charge of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's not the power in these stones. But this is such a common view that I think it's even easy maybe for Christians to fall into it and think, oh, an amethyst is supposed to, you know, bring you peace. And if I have these amethyst crystals around, you know, that'll make my house more peaceful. And we have to be careful about putting faith in an object.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love that part in your book because it really got me thinking. It's like one of those benign things that you just don't think about. And then I came across it like, wow, I never thought of that before. And I always love stuff that gets me thinking like that. So,
well, that's good. And I want to add that I'm not saying these things to make people feel bad or feel guilty if they do them. I just want people to think. I want them to think about it. What I'm trying to do, the purpose is to bring them back to thinking about, you know, the Lord and who the Lord is. And that's what we need to focus on. So that's the purpose of it. I don't want people to feel bad if they have, you know, a rabbit's foot on their keychain.
Well,
and I want them to think about it.
Well, then you're definitely on the right show, because that is absolutely the goal of Raw Talk, is to get people thinking. 505-338-5790 if you're thinking and you've come across a thought that you'd like to share, or you got a question for Marcia about these topics, please feel free to call in. It's a rare opportunity to really get some insight from someone who knows these things firsthand and now has a Christian perspective on it. So 505-338-5790. Now, Marcia, one of the things that we've kept coming back to, and when Monique called in, you know, she mentioned it as well, is how the New Age seems to be, knowingly or unknowingly to most Christians, seeping into the church, where Christians are engaging in practices or whatnot, and maybe without really realizing it, and stuff that's really part of that undefinable monster known as the New Age. I mean, is that what you see as a trend going on in today's culture, that the New Age is kind of seeping into the church?
Yes, I think so. It's certainly in the culture. It's just such a big part of the culture in all kinds of ways, in the thinking out there and in entertainment. And I one thing I find is that a lot of Christians are very interested in astrology. Most of them know their signs. You know, they know if they're Gemini or Taurus or, you know, Sagittarius or whatever. And a lot of times they read the horoscope column. And this is extremely common. One of the most common questions I get is, you know, is it okay to read my horoscope column, or can't I just read it if I'm reading it for fun? And, you know, my answer to that is to give people information so then they can think about it. One is the horoscope column is written by people who believe in astrology. They are looking at the position of the moon, especially because the moon changes signs every 2.5 days. So they're looking at the position of the moon, and they're looking also at the position of the faster-moving planets like Mercury, Mars, and Venus, especially Mercury and Venus. And they're comparing all that to the sun sign, and then they're coming up with something that they think is helpful. So you've got somebody writing those who believe in astrology. Now, astrology is a form of divination, which I mentioned earlier, which is believing in this hidden secret meaning. So when we look up and study, let's say, in science class, you might study Mars and how far away it is from the sun and how fast it moves around the sun, et cetera. That's astronomy, where you're getting factual data about the planet. Okay, that's astronomy, not astrology. But when you think there's a meaning, when you think Mars means something, Mars means male energy, or Mars means aggression, or Mars is related to the ego. And when an astrologer does a chart, a birth chart, they're looking at all these planets and interpreting them that way. And when someone writes the horoscope column, they're interpreting the planets and the zodiac signs. So there's a meaning that is being given to these things, and this meaning does not really exist. This is a man-made meaning. It's been around a long time, but it's man-made. It's not from God. And so you're reading something written by somebody who's looking at things that way. And, of course, God forbids this kind of divination. And he also denounces astrology in the last three verses of Isaiah 47. And having been an astrologer, I can tell you firsthand, it is evil. Astrology is very evil. It is based on something that is evil and is against God. But it looks very harmless. A horoscope column looks about as harmless as you can get. They put it next to the comics, you know, in the newspaper. So it looks like a fun thing. It's in almost every woman's magazine, and teenage girls, their magazines also have horoscope columns. So it's very easy to read and fall into it. So my answer first is, realize who's writing this. They do not have a Christian worldview. And number two, if you start getting interested in this, you can really get hooked on it. And if one day, let's say by coincidence, it's correct, it's going to make you even more interested. You might even get interested in going to an astrologer, or maybe even interested in studying astrology. And then you're going to get in even deeper and deeper, and it's much easier to get in than to get out. So I find, and I think Walmart was selling these Zodiac Barbie dolls. So, you know, if your little girl was, you know, a Capricorn, you would buy her a Capricorn Barbie doll. It had a little description of Capricorn on it and the symbol as a necklace or bracelet or something like that. And so you start thinking of yourself that way, and you think, okay, I'm Capricorn, this is what I am. And you start, you begin to start molding yourself to the idea of your zodiac sign, instead of seeing yourself the way God made you and understanding yourself through God's eyes. And so it's very subtle, but it will really take you away from the truth.
Well, in that case, I'm very glad that I never had any interest. I don't even know what sign I am. I always thought it was stupid.
Well, you're an exception.
Yeah, you know, even when I was in high school and everyone was all into it, and I was a Christian at the time, I just didn't get it. I was like, really? You take this serious? You guys are idiots. I mean, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Aren't we supposed to be in school? Aren't we getting educated? And you think this is an intelligent thing to do? You got to be kidding. And I never even wanted to know my sign. You know, people would ask me, oh, what's your sign? I'd say, I don't care. And they'd be like, no, you have to care because it has meaning. I was like, no, it has no meaning whatsoever for me. I'll tell you what your sign is. I don't want to know, because I had these huge arguments about it.
Well, you know, something like 30% or more of the population believe in astrology.
Wow.
And this is one of the most common questions I get from Christians, from youth groups, when I speak to youth groups, and when I speak in churches, from the adults as well. So it's, I know that Christians are wondering about it. I've had a lot of Christians tell me they read the horoscope column.
Well, I always thought it was silly. No offense to your former profession, but I always thought it was a bunch of hokey, and I was like, nah, I don't even want to waste my time on it. Now, let me ask you this. You know, we were kind of talking about this before we got started in tonight's show. And again, if you have any questions, 505-338-5790. We were talking about, how is the church preparing today's youth to face this faceless beast known as New Age and occult, and we were talking about that, and so let's get into that. How well do you think the church is doing in equipping today's youth to know the difference between fact and fiction when they get out into a culture that's saturated with the New Age and the occult?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that they're doing anything. I think very few churches are doing anything, and I think part of the reason is I think sometimes people in church are sort of sheltered in the sense, especially the adults, of not knowing what's out there. I mean, I started talking about Wicca in 1995 because I was talking to some kids in a youth group and found out there were Wiccans in the school. And so I immediately, I knew what they were because when I was an astrologer, I did charts for witches and Wiccans. So I knew they were around, but I didn't know they were in the schools. And this was an eighth grader in 1995. And so, you know, I started talking about it, but I could tell that usually the adults just really had a hard time even believing me that it was true. And even up until a few years ago, I would come across that. So I think there is sort of a lack of information or awareness about what's out there and how pervasive it is. And I think that's one of the major problems. That's one of the reasons for my ministry is to make people in the church aware of what's out there. And so that's the first step, is to just be aware of it. And then I think the other thing that happens is people are intimidated by it, and they don't know how to get a handle on it. They don't know, you know, really what it is or what it's about. And so it's better just to, you know, not focus on that. And there's also the idea, well, if we just, you know, teach the Bible, then everything will take care of itself. But the problem is, I don't know if the Bible's really always being taught that well, and you can't just do that in an hour a week in Sunday school or a youth group. You know, it's got to be a really ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, sometimes even if you know some of the Bible, like you're not totally ignorant of it, some of this stuff is so subtle or it's so alluring that doesn't really, you know, keep you from getting taken in by it. So I think that, you know, ideally, and there's no way I can make this happen. I mean, I would just hope that churches become more aware of things. But unfortunately, then you go back a few years ago to when, I'm going to bring up the dreaded Harry Potter thing.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm saving that show for later this year.
When Harry Potter came out, you know, you had Christians defending it. And here you have a young boy who is casting spells and learning magic, who takes a class called divination, who talks to his dead parents and hears from his dead parents. So you have all, you have just one, two, three, these things that God forbids in Deuteronomy 18, and you have the hero doing them as a good thing.
Mm.
You know, well, I see like a humongous problem there. And but yet I had, in some cases, a very hard time taking that position because people wanted to defend it. And I think the reason is because it was so popular. It was so popular, and it is hard. The more popular something is in the culture, the harder it is to take a stand against it because, yes, sometimes you do look stupid. Sometimes people think you're being rigid, you're being narrow-minded, you're just a dumb Christian. And, you know, people just will, you know, they just roll their eyes at you. And so it's very hard to take a stand and say, no, I don't think that this has a good message in it, or no, I'm not going to let my child read that. And, you know, it's difficult. But and I think that's where we have to go back to God's word, where it says, you know, sometimes, I mean, you are going to suffer for my sake. And then they were talking about real suffering, like being, you know, beaten up and killed. And this is just being maybe made fun of. So, you know, I know that's not very fun, but sometimes taking a stand in our culture for Christ is going, there's going to be, you know, it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be something that's difficult to do. It is not easy to be an authentic Christian in this world. It is not easy to stand. Maybe what I should say is it's not easy to stand up for that in this culture, because the culture and Christianity are not compatible.
Hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And actually, you know, in all fairness, and this has come up a lot on Raw Talk, you know, how well are youth groups doing with this, that, or the other thing? It's really not all on them to prepare today's youth. The large majority, it has to be with parents preparing their kids
right.
to face things in the new age. And that's a lot of what you kind of cover in your book, Spellbound, how parents can be equipped, be aware, be informed, and then help their kids get ready for what they're going to face. I actually have a copy of the book to give away to the next person who calls in who has a question or comment for you. So if you're someone who could benefit from having this book in your home, 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment for Marcia, we'll also give you a copy of this book, Spellbound, that she wrote. And like I said, when I was going through it, one of the things that I appreciated is that it was so practically written. You know, it was pretty much the nitty gritty. You know, here's what you need to know, and this is what you got to do. Be aware of this. And I like that. It had such a practical approach to helping parents prepare their kids for what they're going to face so far as what goes on, you know, the new age in today's culture. And like I said, we're not going to get into the whole Harry Potter thing. I'm saving that for another show because
okay.
I know that's
sorry
always
about that.
No, that's fine. I knew it was going to come up when we're doing this. And as soon as it came up, though, I was going to, well, I'm not going to make any comments on that because I want to save that for when the next book comes out. We'll do a big old debate on it, and we'll have lots of fun. And that's always a fun show to do. Now, let me ask you, as you were an astrologer and you were going through that, you know, one of the things that you mentioned in your book is that some scary things started happening, and you're like, well, that's kind of interesting, but I think it's just that or that. At what point did you realize that something that you thought was benign and perhaps even helpful to people, at what point did you start to realize this is dangerous?
Oh, I never really thought that.
Okay.
That's the whole danger of this, is that you can have scary experiences and scary things can happen to you, but you can rationalize it in your mind. You can think to yourself, you make up reasons for why it's happening. Like I used to think, well, I'm being tested, or I am, I'm just not ready to go to, a level where things are beautiful. You know, I still have more work on myself to do. There's always this idea that you're working on yourself and you're evolving spiritually. And so I would make up reasons. Now, it doesn't mean I wasn't scared. I have scary experiences and they were scary. But I wouldn't think, okay, that must mean I'm doing something evil or this is wrong. And a lot of Christians are very surprised to hear me say that. But it's because in the way you're thinking is for one thing, I didn't believe in evil. So I didn't think that I could be doing anything evil because I didn't believe in evil. And I never, none of the scary stuff is ever what got me out of it. It was just God's intervention, and it had nothing to do with anything bad or scary that had happened to me. And I had a spirit guide. I had a spirit guide that had been introduced to me in a guided visualization. A guided visualization is when someone has you, and this is actually something to address too, because I know some people in high school and maybe even middle school and junior high have this happen where they have you relax, they turn the lights down low, and they do this progressive relaxation where you start relaxing at the top of your body and go down. And in some schools, they're even telling you what to think and imagine. And this is really a form of hypnosis.
They did that to me in college for a creative writing class, and I refused to participate. And my story actually came out to be more creative than everybody else.
Well, that's good. And this is actually very dangerous. And it was in a guided visualization, and we were purposely introduced to, our spiritual master. And this is a spirit. This is a spirit guide. It's not a person guide. And but I felt very protected by my spirit guide and thought he was very benevolent and he was there to help me. So a lot of times when these things happened, even though I was scared, I felt my spirit guide would protect me. Hmm. So I had this false sense of security.
Hmm. Well, before we move on to my next question, a faithful listener from San Diego even, Linda is on the line with us. Linda, welcome to Round Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I just wanted to thank Marcia, first of all, for her time. And I also wanted to comment quickly before I ask my question. This is just one more thing that makes me say, thank God I don't have children, because there's just so many things out there that you have to constantly be on the lookout and protecting your kids from. And that's why I have rabbits. So, if you're wearing a rabbit's foot on your keychain, I do want you to feel bad about it. But The thing I wanted to ask you was, my sister is an unbeliever, and so I know that just about anything that comes out of her mouth is pretty hokey. But she said something to me that made me think, oh, because one day I was just feeling kind of crabby, and she said to me, I think the planets got to you. And then she starts talking about some planet in retrograde and conversion with some other planet or something. And she goes, now, you know that the moon has an effect on us, and so the other planets do, too. And I thought, oh, my gosh, is that true? Because, you know, when there's a full moon and they say, oh, people are wacky, the moon is full, and this and that, and it definitely affects the tides. And so that really made me stop and wonder, could it possibly be true that the positions of other planets have an effect on our behavior, just like the moon?
Okay, I will be happy to answer that. And I can see how somebody, you know, somebody saying that to you would kind of throw you off there, you know. Actually, yes, the moon affects the tides, but that is a physical effect on the earth. As far as I know, the idea that, you know, people seem to go crazy around the full moon is a myth and an old wives' tale. I don't know that it's ever been proven. It would be very hard to test. You'd have to go around and check everybody and see were they acting crazier, and, you know, then you'd have to go check them when the moon wasn't full. I mean, I think it would be impossible. I think it's an old wives' myth. But having said that, the other planets, the moon's not a planet, but the planets are too far away to have any kind of physical effect on us. They're just too far away. I mean, even the planets in our solar system are way too far away. There's no way they have any effect on our moon or anything. I mean, our mood. Now, when she said retrograde, I know what she was talking about. This is when, because of the way the our Earth moves, the way it rotates and the way it moves around the sun, at certain times it looks like planets are moving backwards. They really aren't, but it looks like it, and they're plotted that way. And that's called retrograde, and it has a meaning in astrology. It has a meaning in the birth chart, and it also has a meaning for every day. So, for example, when Mercury is retrograde, astrologers will say this is a bad time for, you know, communication because Mercury rules communication. And, you know, this is a bad time to buy a car, you know, because you won't understand, you won't get all the information, etc. So, They really believe that when it's retrograde, they know it's not really going backwards, but they believe because it appears that way, it has an effect as though it is going backwards. And so this is a belief in astrology. Your sister, I think you said, was saying is she must be reading some astrology stuff, or she maybe has an astrology, you know, friend who knows it or something and told her this. I used to say it myself, and I really believed it. It wasn't so much that I thought the planets themselves had some kind of physical effect on us. It's more that the planets represent something going on in the universe. And so the idea is, okay, Mercury is retrograde. That means that somehow that is affecting communication between humans, and things just aren't going to go smoothly, and we have to be careful. I remember I refused to sign a lease during a Mercury retrograde. And I asked the landlord if I could come back, you know, the next day or something. I can't remember. And he did. He agreed. I don't know what he thought of it. But, you know, I mean, that was how strongly I believed it. But I didn't think it was affecting me physically. Astrologers today tend to believe that these things represent forces going on in the universe. And so by understanding what these planets are doing, you work with the forces and the way they're moving in the universe.
So the planets are never really changing the way that they're spinning around the Earth. It just might appear from our perspective.
Yes, and when we're looking at the planets, and when astrologers say, well, you know, the Venus is moving into Sagittarius now or whatever, it's looking at it from something called the fixed zodiac belt, which is not really the way things really are in outer space. So it's not really a true-to-life thing, although astrologers believe that because it's symbolically true from way long ago, because things have changed over a few thousand years as far as the Earth's orientation to things. But they believe that this still represents something real. And so you know, it looks like something's really happening. But the problem is, yeah, even though the planets are moving, of course, I mean, because we're all moving in space, but the thing is it doesn't mean anything. You know, the planets are moving, but it doesn't mean anything. But this is going to be very hard to explain to your sister because she believes it. And I think rather than trying to, you know, convince her it doesn't mean anything, you need to just focus on, you know, whatever opportunities you have to talk to her about Christ. Because talking to an unbeliever to try to tell them astrology isn't true, or, you know, doing tarot cards isn't true or whatever, it just doesn't work.
Well, Linda, I hope that helps you out, and thanks so much for calling in. And we got a copy of the book for you, so you'll get a lot more information in there.
Great. Thank you.
You bet, Linda. Thanks for calling in all the way from San Diego.
Yep.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, Marcia, our time has just flown by. We got about 9 minutes left already.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And I got like to about half of my questions so far about stuff that I'd like to discuss. And, you know, all this is just absolutely fascinating. And when I was going through your book, I kept coming back to it. Just got me thinking so much about how, yeah, this stuff is so subtly just seeping into our culture. And, you know, just the things that we say, you know, even in passing as jokes, and how a lot of it is you know, new age stuff, you know, how may the force be with you became a common saying, you know, after mm-hmm. Star Wars came out. And but let me just say this, and I don't know if this is just me, and I hope no one takes offense at this. And, you know, when you're talking about that stuff with, you know, Mercury's in retrograde, so I'm not going to sign a lease. You know, to my mind, and I've been a Christian since I was about six, and, you know, never had a time of backsliding, always been moving forward, or when I wasn't moving forward, God was, you know, poking me to move me forward. But, you know, when I heard stuff like that, honestly, it causes me to chuckle a little bit, because I'm thinking, how could anyone really think that? I mean, why would anyone want to think that their lives are controlled by, you know, inanimate objects, you know, several astronomical units away from where they are? You know, if the idea in New Age is, you know, utopia, freedom, all that mm-hmm. type of stuff, doesn't that seem kind of contradictory to say that your lives are controlled by these other bodies far off in space?
Well, yes. I mean, it is true that, you know, the sense of freedom you have with these things is a very cruel deception, because you're actually in bondage.
Right.
To these beliefs. But astrologers would not say we're being controlled by these things. They would say these forces are already out there, and the planets are just a way, they're like signposts. They're a way to read what's going on. So they would say these things are already happening, and it's just the ebb and flow of the universe, and then they might put it in the context of whatever their particular belief is. And they would say, this is just a way to read it. You know, this is the way, you know, when I did the birth charts for my clients, you know, which shows where the planets were at their birth, I would say, you know, this just represents who you are. This represents the kind of potentials you've brought into this life. It represents the problems that you're going to deal with in this life. And, you know, I'm just reading what's already there. This is just a way to, you know, get specific about what you should deal with and who you are and what your potentials are. So the idea is more that all these things are going on already, but astrology is a way to read what's going on.
Wow.
So that's how they look at it, which makes it sound even more believable and more enticing. And actually, when nowadays, if you sit down with the people who do astrology like I did it, who are usually New Agers, people who are into the spiritual belief systems of astrology, not Madame Rosa with a, you know, palm reader, psychic astrologer, not that. That would be a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the people who are into this seriously as a spiritual tool, when you sit down with them, it's like almost like a counseling session.
You know, the thing that just keeps coming back to my mind, and again, you know, no offense to your former profession, you know, I don't want to make anyone angry, but it just seems like a bunch of semantical play to make things sound good. And all it really is, the thing that strikes me so much is the deception. It's so deceptive, and it's so subtly deceptive. And as a Christian, knowing that, you know, Satan is a liar, and he's our enemy, and he loves to deceive. You know, when I hear you talking about this stuff, and I hear about, and I hear it's so subtle, and like you say, appealing, it just gets me angry. I'm like, oh, this stinks. It's so deceptive. It's so subtly deceptive that you might not even notice. And I hate the fact that our enemy is so clever to be able to use it that way. You know, and but that's the reaction of a Christian who's been, you know, a Christian for a long time and was raised in a good family. Praise God that I was raised in such a good godly family. That man, I was blown away. You know, just reading some of the stuff in your book, and it got me all riled up. I'm like,
yeah, I get
this
riled
stinks.
Up too. I get riled up when I see people, especially young people, taken in by these things and taken in by people who are very clever and know how to make this stuff sound good. And yes, I get very angry myself, because I get angry at the deception. And I know this is Satan's, opposition to God at work.
Yeah.
He likes to dangle enticing things in front of people to draw them away from the truth and draw them away from Christ. And that's what these things are. And so Satan doesn't draw people with things that are repulsive and horrible. You know, he draws things that seem enticing, that seem spiritual, that seem helpful, you know, that seem benevolent, that seem interesting, like astrology was just absolutely fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I know you thought this was so silly in high school, you didn't even know what your sign was. And there are people like that. There are people who are just naturally just think this is bunk. But there are so many people who are so interested. And I do find that with astrology, girls and women tend to be more interested than men. And I think it's because women are more relationship-oriented and more interested in these kinds of areas than men. Men don't really, I don't think, like to sit around and wonder about, you know, their relationships and how
it's
working or not working, or wonder about, you know, certain things. I mean, it's just more of a, it really is more of a girl thing, and it tends to be. That's why these horoscope columns are in the magazines for teenage girls and not for teenage boys.
Well, you know,
and not for men. You know, I don't think men's magazines have them, as far as I know.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Earlier, just last week, it was Mother's Day, and we were talking about raising godly mothers, and now following this show up the way that we have, it just strikes me like this is just one more obstacle to keeping women from becoming godly women. Man, that just gets me all. We could do a whole other show. We're just about out of time. Marcia, why don't you give everyone your website one more time? So if they want more resources, or if there's an email link there, if they got questions that they would like to send to you and discuss some of this stuff further, why don't you give them that information?
Absolutely, because a lot of people don't want to ask questions on air.
Yeah.
About this, especially about these topics. They just don't want to ask them out loud. So they can email me. They can go to my website. Cana, C-A-N, like Nancy, A, dot userworld, and that's userworld.com. I am going to have a new website later, but that's my website now. And if you go there, on most of the pages, you can see, go to the home page, and you can see contact Cana, and you can just email me from there. And if you forget that website, all you have to do, if you can remember my name, Marcia Montenegro, M-O-N-T-E-N-E-G-R-O, you can put that in Google, and you can probably find my website that way really fast.
Or they can contact me here at the station. I'll point them in the right direction.
Right.
And I got a chance to look at your website, and you got some fascinating articles there on everything from Star Wars and Harry Potter to, like you're saying, other things, astrology and divination. And so you got some great resources there, and I had a blast, flipping through some of those articles. I kind of sped read through, skimmed over them. And just in skimming over several of the articles, I found good stuff to think about. So, Marcia, thank you so much for your time tonight. I wish we could do a whole nother hour on this. It's just been a big blessing to me to have a chance to talk with you and read some of your stuff. So thank you so much. Hold on. I'll chat with you a little bit more here after we wrap things up, all right?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
You bet. I had enjoyed having you on. And I just want to close tonight with Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, which Paul says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him eternally be condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching you to a gospel other than what you accepted, let him eternally be condemned. Why do I bring that up at the end of the show? Simply this. New Age is not that new. It's the same old deception that began way back in the Garden of Eden. Don't be deceived by the fact that something says it's new. If anyone says they have a new interpretation of the gospel, a new this, a new that, no. Don't fall for those deceptions. You can't fall for those deceptions because we need strong Christians who are willing to stand on the Word of God, and that's all they need, and they're not going to be taken in by all these subtle deceptions that are out there in our culture. And like Marsha pointed out, just because it's popular doesn't make it something that is true. And we'll discuss that a whole lot more once we get, you know, to the Harry Potter issue and some of the other things that we're going to discuss throughout the summer. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in tonight. I hope it was a blessing to you, and we'll see you again next week here on Raw Talk on M88.